This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down state laws making it a crime for same-sex couples to engage in private sex. The justices wrapped up the court term yesterday with important decisions on subjects ranging from child molestation to the death penalty. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Despite the drum roll from interest groups on the right and left, the justices recessed for the summer without any of the much-anticipated retirements materializing. But the subjects ruled on this week, from affirmative action to gay rights, illustrate what will be at stake when there is a retirement and why it matters who serves on the nation's highest court. On gay rights, the court yesterday did something extremely rare. It reversed itself, declaring that it was wrong 17 years ago when it upheld state laws making private consensual sodomy between adults a crime. Justice Anthony Kennedy, his voice trembling slightly, announced the decision, declaring for the first time that individual decisions concerning the intimacies of physical relationships are a form of liberty protected by the Constitution. The court's 6-3 decision came in the case of two men convicted of homosexual sodomy in Texas. They'd been arrested and imprisoned for a night and later fined after police in Houston, acting on what turned out to be a false report of a disturbance, entered their apartment and found them having sex. In invalidating the Texas law used to prosecute the men, the court also invalidated similar laws in 12 other states. Sitting in the courtroom when the decision was announced was Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe, who 17 years ago lost a nearly identical case, watching as the court reversed that 1986 ruling using the very arguments Tribe had urged 17 years ago. The Harvard professor had tears in his eyes.
I guess my wife and I have known an awful lot of people whose lives have been messed up by these laws that make people criminals for what they do with people that they love in the privacy of their bedroom.
In addition to its revolutionary decision on sodomy laws yesterday, the court issued other major decisions. In a case with ramifications for the Catholic Church sex scandal, the court ruled by a vote of 5-4 that states may not retroactively void the statute of limitations on child molestation laws in order to pursue cases that had been legally dead for decades. In an important death penalty case, the court, by a vote of 7-2, made it easier to challenge the quality of legal representation. Writing for the court majority, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said that public defenders in a Maryland case had failed to provide their client with proper assistance when they didn't investigate and present to the jury evidence that the defendant had been severely abused as a child. Said O'Connor, given the nature and extent of the abuse, there was a reasonable probability that a competent attorney aware of this history would have introduced it at sentencing, and that a jury confronted with such mitigating evidence would not have sentenced the defendant to death. In a case involving the role of race in reapportionment, the court, by a 5-4 vote, gave states in the Deep South more flexibility under the Voting Rights Act to redraw districts. And finally, in something of a non-decision, the court dismissed a case that tested whether sneaker giant Nike has free speech rights to make false statements about its labor practices. The court's action yesterday means that a San Francisco activist can now pursue his claim that Nike violated California's false advertising law. On any other day, any one of these decisions might have made headlines. But yesterday, it was the court's sodomy decision that dominated the legal agenda. Justice Kennedy's sweeping decision clearly tethered gay rights to other personal rights that the court has approved over the years: the right to make personal decisions on marriage and family relationships, abortion, contraception, child rearing, and education. And, said Kennedy, when the Supreme Court 17 years ago, in a case called Bowers v. Hardwick, upheld state sodomy laws, it was wrong. It was wrong in its historical interpretation of American law, and it was wrong in its interpretation of the Constitution. American legal history, said Kennedy, shows that sodomy laws were, until the latter 20th century, aimed not at consenting adult behavior, but at predatory behavior. Even more important, he said, contrary to what the Supreme Court ruled in 1986, the liberty protected by the Constitution allows homosexual persons the right to choose to enter into relationships in the confines of their homes and their own private lives and still retain their dignity as free persons. So what, you may wonder, has changed since 1986 to change the court's mind? Several scholars said yesterday that in some ways the Bowers decision sowed the seeds of its own destruction. It energized the gay community, forcing many gay lawyers to come out of the closet and to work to reverse the decision. University of Iowa professor Pat Kane.
Not only did charitable contributions to gay legal rights organizations skyrocket after Bowers, the whole country was so upset by the idea that the government could come into your bedroom and tell you what to do that I think we won a lot of allies from that.
In invalidating the Texas anti-sodomy law yesterday, the Supreme Court acknowledged that the law was rarely enforced. But, as Justice Kennedy said, the stigma a criminal statute imposes is not trivial. It may be only a misdemeanor, but it still remains a criminal conviction on a person's record, on a job application. And in four states, it means that the person must register as a convicted sex offender. It may also make a homosexual into a criminal, even without a conviction. In several states, for example, homosexuals cannot adopt children, cannot hold certain jobs, because they are deemed to be criminals. Indeed, the immediate impact of yesterday's ruling is likely to be that such laws and practices are put in legal jeopardy. Again, Professor Kane.
I suspect most of the help is going to come in the area of family law. There are still a lot of lesbians who are being denied custody of their children because courts are looking at the facts and saying that this woman, although maybe a fit mother in many regards, is still technically a criminal under our laws.
In the gay community yesterday, the court's decision was greeted with exultation. Gay activists called it a modern-day Brown versus the Board of Education ruling. And in a gesture of gratitude, activists in San Francisco yesterday lowered the huge rainbow flag that always flies over the city's Castro district and hoisted the stars and stripes in its place. Not all reaction was positive. Lewis Sheldon, the chairman of the Traditional Values Coalition, was among several conservative activists who were critical.
In this court, you do not have friends of the Judeo-Christian moral standard.
But in the political arena, there was a striking lack of critical comment. House Republican Tom DeLay declined to comment on the ruling, as did a number of other prominent GOP leaders. And at the White House, the president's spokesman dodged questions about the court's decision. Clint Bolick, director of the Conservative Institute for Justice, praised the decision, noting that there is something of a split among conservatives on this issue.
The president is certainly straddling the divide, or attempting to, on this issue. On the one hand, he is an apostle of compassionate conservatism, and he has worked assiduously to expand the party's base. On the other hand, for some conservatives, there really is no more important symbolic issue, apart for, perhaps from abortion, than homosexual rights. And as a result, I think that the president would have loved to have been completely out of the country if he could have been, in terms of receiving today's decision. He's between a rock and a hard place politically.
Dissenting from yesterday's decision were Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justices Scalia and Thomas. Scalia blasted the majority for, quote, taking sides in the culture war. The court, he said, has largely signed on to a homosexual agenda aimed at eliminating the moral opprobrium that has traditionally attached to homosexual conduct. The court majority, he said, had gone out of its way to suggest that its ruling would not lead to an endorsement of gay marriage in the future, but, said Scalia, do not believe them. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.